This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name.
Good morning. Welcome to Lake Community Church's morning Bible study. Sad for yesterday. We had a little hookup with Facebook, but got that resolved. And this morning, so it's good to have you. Good to be able to go through grain offering. We've expanded over 2 weeks because of that little bit of hiccup. But we are dealing with chapter 2 of Leviticus. It is the grain offering. And it says, when anyone offers a grain offering to the Lord, his offering shall be a fine flyer. Now, this also, like the first offering, the burnt offering, is a voluntary offering. It's not a requirement. It's not one that's got to be made. It's not one that God comes in and says that you have to make this offering on this day at this time, which He is going to do about certain offerings. He's going to come in and say, this offering's for this time, for this reason, for this purpose. This is when those, the word is better volitional. It's not voluntary, it's volitional. And what does that mean? That means that the initiator of this offering is not God. The initiator of this offering is you. And when He's explaining how to do it, he's giving you the understanding of what to be done, but He's not telling you how to do it. And that is He's not telling you when to do it. He's telling you that you should do it, but He's not telling you exactly when it should be offered. And you go, well, what does that really matter? It matters because, remember, salvation is fundamentally a work of God based on our volition, meaning based on our willingness to follow Him, to trust Him, to walk with Him, to live with Him, to act by faith. It is a volition by us. Remember, we both are God's regeneration of us, or Him making us into a new creature, giving us the new birth. That is a volitional act by Him. That is something that He chose to do. It's not something that we do by ourselves. It's not something that we decide. It's not something that God, that we can make God do. We have no play in that. God has to provide the circumstances by which it's possible. He's done that in Jesus Christ. And then once He provides the circumstances for that to be possible, then He has acted to give us new life. In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of the world. He's acted through Jesus to give us that life by His own volition. Now, once we have been born again, once we've been converted, once we've repented and turned toward Him, then God gives us the ability and the opportunities. He puts in these things in place for us to actually trust Him, for us to actually do what He has asked us to do, the things He's given us in some ways the opportunity to do. And that is the cool thing about the Christian life. We join God in what He does so that we can be as He is. So like we talked about in Wednesday night Bible study last, we actually get to be as He is when we act, or when we volitionally in our own hearts, my own voluntary actions, decide to act and be as God is. And that was in the context of love. God chose to love us, and we have to choose to love Him, and we have to choose to love others. And love is love, and we don't choose our own love, because that's not something that innately comes from us because we're sinners. It's something that is a gift of God that's been given to the universe. It's something that's rampant in the universe. It's a common source of grace, and it's a particular source of grace. What do you mean by that? God's love is common in the universe. It's clearly seen in Him making the universe the way He did, perfect. He's got perfection in His laws. It's very intricate. It's very personal. The way He's created the universe to operate is for our benefit and for our best. It is a beautiful, powerful, wonderful thing that He has done, and it is good. And that's what Genesis says. It's good. And so His love is replete with throughout the universe. It is replete through all the things that are made physically. It's replete with all the things that are made that are living beings. And so you see love throughout the universe that comes from God. And that is part of his common grace that he gives to us. Also, he gives us his personal love. We can know the love of God. We can know his love. And how do we know what love is? Christ died for us. We know his love because he has acted in the physical universe personally on our behalf and provided for us atonement for our lack of love, a lack of God in our hearts. And then love is the defining characteristic of God. Now, there are a lot of characteristics of God that you can name, but the preeminent one, the main one, is his love. And so when we're choosing to do things, we choose to do things by his love. Now, I don't know why I went off on that tangent, but I think it's very important that you understand that the first two offerings of volitional offerings. The first one foreshadows Christ, but it also foreshadows us offering ourselves as living sacrifices to him. We burn up the old flesh and we walk in the newness of life. This offering is the same way, and it's called a grain offering. I like to think of it as a fellowship offering. Now, the reason it's called a grain offering is because God calls it a grain offering, but the reason I think of it as a fellowship offering is because it can be very directly tied to worship because of what is being offered, but it also is a picture of once we have given ourselves over to God, we've given our flesh over to God, we've said, we want to give you our lives and we want to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. Once that happens, once we've done that, now we get to have a time where we actually get to know him. We have fellowship. We have communion with him. And that's one of the reasons we use that word for communion to describe this in the New Testament version of this offering or this sacrifice. It is a communion or a fellowship with God. He says, when anyone offers a grain offering to the Lord, his offering shall be a fine flour. Now, what is he saying? That's a type of flour that has to be ground down to a fine point, and it can't be done just by doing it with a stone and a wheel. It's got to be done over and over again if you're going to use that methodology, and it needs to be fine flour. Now, there's an important point to be made here. These people are in the wilderness, so they would have to be using supplies of grain that they've either bartered through from surrounding tribes, people coming through, trading things, or they would have had to bring it out of Egypt, which they likely did bring a lot of food out of Egypt, especially this flour out of Egypt. Now, that remember, they eat manna from heaven to survive. God took care of them, but they would have had some fine flour with them, and that would have been a very valuable product for them. And in winter ground, fine flour would have been something that would have been of great cost to them, something that they wouldn't have wanted to give away easily. That's a beautiful picture of worship. It should cost you something. As David said, far be it from me to give the Lord something that cost me nothing. That is an important understanding and principle that needs to come from the scripture, that you, when you worship God, and remember, all this is a picture of worship. When we seek out God, when we have fellowship with God, it should cost us something. It should be of great value to us. So many times we make worship easy for folks. We make worship something that is seeker sensitive. And the truth is, if anybody's seeking God, it's because the Holy Spirit's already calling him. And the reason the Holy Spirit's already calling him is because he's already completed the new birth and they're on his way to them. We shouldn't teach people to do something that's not innate, is not absolutely innate to what it is to be a Christian. And what does that mean? It means that Christianity costs God his son. Christianity is a cost-benefit relationship. It cost us something. It cost us our lives to have his life. And it cost God his son so that he could have us. And to make church easy, and I'm not just saying church, we should make people feel comfortable and all that kind of stuff, but to make everything easy on people to seek God out is not an accurate reflection of what it is to be a Christian. Christianity costs us things. And it says, he shall pour oil on it, another valuable substance that they wouldn't have had that would most likely have been olive oil, virgin olive oil. It would have been something that they would have had to bear with it or bring out of Egypt. Now, when they get to the promised land, they're going to have to be able to have the flour and the oil easily. But in the wilderness, they wouldn't have had it. It would have cost something. And put frankincense on it. That's another item that they would not have had in the wilderness. All these things are things that they would not have had in the wilderness, and it would have, and their effort with sacrifices would have been costly. They would have had to buy them from traders that might have come by. They would have had to, it would have, these things were not easy to kill. Grain and sacks is not easy to kill. These oils and these perfumes are not easy to get. And so each one of them, I want you to notice, each one of them, there's the picture of frankincense, which is an oil used for a burial. There's the pouring of the olive oil, which is a picture of the power of the Holy Spirit. And then you've got the fine flour, which is very costly where they are. And that fine flour is a picture of flesh. But remember, this is fine flesh. This is a flesh of great value, which is a picture of Jesus Christ, or a foreshadowing of him being the sinless bread of life that God gives us. He shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priest, one of whom shall take it from his handful of fine flour and oil with all the frankincense, and the priest shall burn it as a memorial on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Now, this one is going to be placed on the altar. The best way I think of it, he's going to put it in his hand. He's going to put the fine flour, the hint of frankincense on it. He's going to put that in his hand. He's going to mix it together. For me, it reminds me of my great-grandmother, Granny McLean, Granny Klein, that's what we called her, her making them cat head biscuits when I was a little bitty boy, and her working in that flour and kneading out that dough and putting those biscuits on a pan and putting them in the oven. Those are the best biscuits in the world, and I enjoyed eating them every time she ever made them. My dad loved them, and so when she would come, and she came a lot when we were young, it was a great time for her to make those things. That's really what I think about when I think about this. Now, you may think of it from a whole other context, and if you're British, you might call it a scone. We call it biscuits. Biscuits to them, I think, are cookies. But anyway, the whole idea here is this grain offering is to be put together. What are we putting together? We're putting together that fine flour, which is a picture of the body of Christ. We're putting together that, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And then we're having that hint of frankincense, which is a picture of his death. It's to celebrate. It was given to him at his birth to foreshadow his death. And in his death, it was placed on him as a preparation of his body for the tomb. These are all pictures of the pictures of worship. They're pictures of us worshiping Jesus for his finished work on the cross. It says, the rest of the grain offering shall be Aaron and his son. So what happens? They put that biscuit on the altar. And let me tell you something. I love biscuits, or I love some cornbread. As you can tell, I'm a little hungry this morning. I love it when it's just a little bit burnt on the edge. And I love the edges of it specifically. And let me tell you, that's what they did with the sacrifice. They burned that bread, and that's really what it ended up being, is being a bread. They burned that bread, or a wafer, and the edges that were burnt were to be to God, and that which was left, the priest ate. And you saw the foreshadowing of the communion offering of that Jesus instituted in the upper room, that taking of the bread and ingesting it is a picture of taking the sacrifice of Jesus and making it a part of our lives. And isn't that a beautiful picture? It is really a beautiful picture that God's given us here, a foreshadowing of exactly what he's going to be doing in the future in Jesus Christ. He says, and if you bring an offering of grain offering baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes. Now, remember, leaven is a picture of yeast, is a picture of sin. So it's always unleavened, because Christ's flesh was unleavened. It's a picture of Jesus being the spotless or the sinless Lamb of God. He says, when you bring that, it shall be unleavened cakes, a fine flour mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil. I guess those are big biscuits and small biscuits, is my thinking. And really, that is, if you'd have a large piece of grain, you'd make a larger cake, and that's what they call it, a larger cake. And then with the smaller ones, there'd be smaller wafers, and they would be placed on the altar, and they would allow it to get to the place where it's almost burnt. And the part that was burnt would be left for God, and the rest of it, and that's a fine aroma to God. It's Jesus giving his life on the cross, and his death was a sweet aroma to God. Why? Because it paid for the sin of humanity. And notice, if money were there, if you didn't really put there in the little bitty pieces, if somebody just had a little bit of flour to offer the sacrifice, notice you're able to bring a whole lot, a little bit. Those with means could bring a lot. Those without means could bring a little, and we all got the same result. And that is a picture of God. Those who have one talent need to put that to work. Those who have five talents need to put it to work. And what's the, well done, my good and faithful servant, because you've been faithful with a few things, I'll put you in charge of many. It is a picture of God saying, bring what you have, bring what I have given you to my altar, and I am going to bless you, not based off of the amount you bring, but based off of the attitude or the position of your heart toward me. Volitionally, you choose to sacrifice to me. And he said, but if your offering is of grain offering baked in a pan, it shall be a fine flour, unleavened, mixed with oil. So they actually could bring pans and put this on the altar. I think that's fabulous, because that's exactly how my Granny Klein did it. And so it says, you shall break it into pieces and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. And if you notice, all this stuff has to do with all this offering has to do with is a foreshadowing of Christ, a foreshadowing of us. We're offering ourselves as sinless sacrifices to him, which is our reasonable act of service, a living sacrifice. We're offering that to him. How are we sinless? Because of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. We're offering that to him. And so As we study this again, next time we get together, this is a beautiful picture of the work of Jesus Christ. And it's a beautiful picture of how God has voluntarily or volitionally loved us. And then we volitionally choose to honor, to choose to worship his work in giving us the newness of life, the newness of our own hearts and our own minds. Let's pray that you'll see this. This is just a beautiful picture of what God is going to do completely and finished in Jesus Christ.
As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face to shine upon you, and that he will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.